AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. 75th episode, All-Star Cast. We had somebody in the queue, some other guys in the queue, couldn't make it, but let's go. Brought some old faces back. Brought our number one fan, Darren. For only a second appearance on the podcast, here we go. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get things going. Darren's going to comment on himself this week. So we're about to have some fun. So, Ed, we're going to start it off with what we usually do, but we're going to do a kind of a best of episode, and we're going to talk. We're going to start with you, Ed. What is your favorite email from the first 75 episodes?
Well, this is my favorite email. And I think a lot of us will remember this is back from the February 22nd show. And it's from Paul from New York. And the title of it is, "Your Podcast Sucks." And I mean, you know, we haven't heard from Paul. We're kind of curious about where he's at, you know? So, I mean, this was like one that really kind of got us rolling. So, you know, this was the email. What an absolute dog shit podcast. This is a perfect example of guys living in their mother's basement. Bunch of New England homers who couldn't get in the whorehouse with $1,000 bills on them. You need a better host, and the crew needs a short bus to get around. And the last part is, fuck you guys. That was Paul from New York. But that was my favorite email. I mean, that, you know, I mean, he didn't, you know, he wasn't like Dickie Dunn, you know what I mean?
You know, did we get kicked out of that whorehouse?
We've been kicked out of better.
I don't think I've ever had $1,000 bill stapled to me, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. So can we still reply to Paul after all this time? Fuck you, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck you, Paul.
Not even a good name.
I want to ask our number one fan, Darren. Darren, you've watched every episode. Do you have a favorite email that you remember that really stuck out that you were like, that's a good one?
I still have to go back when, I don't know if that was the one Tommy answered, where it was just saying how, if it's so shitty and bad, how come you're still watching it? I think that's, that one just got me and stuff like that. And I think they still responded, and just the way Tommy responded back, I just got a chuckle after that one, because I could figure all the haters and stuff, if you're not really watching it, but it always gets me when people still want to comment, like, well, I don't like that and stuff, but let me just add this. Oh, okay. So that, I think, I don't know which one where he was calling from, but that one always stuck in my mind. Like, okay, you're going to complain about all this, but okay, but thank you. You're still watching it and stuff. So that one was my favorite.
I believe if we could go back to it, I think that's what started the shitty picks, if I am correct, Tom. Do you remember that?
Correct. I embrace the suck.
Gotta embrace the suck. So we'll go to you, Tom. What is your favorite email for the first 75 episodes?
I like the emails that have, like, ask you about, like, for a list of guys. So my favorite was from Stanley from Marfa, Texas, who asked us, who the greatest player from all four major sports to have never won a championship? I like those questions like that, where we can do like a round table, and it's not all, we all have different answers. So it's not all like cookie cutter, and we all agree with one another. So I like those type of things.
I'm going to ask the man from the Brock Street, Scotty, do you have a favorite email or rebuttal that we've had for an email that you can remember?
So I have to watch the shows I'm not in?
Well, yeah, of course. Of course, you're going to support the crew.
Actually, what I like, kind of similar to Tommy's, but was the favorite trophy. And I'm shocked that you still allow Brad to be part of this podcast because, the World Series, the NFL, come on. I'm someone who actually got to drink out of the Stanley Cup. It is incredible. It is the trophy. You see the World Series one. Every time they hold it, it looks like it breaks right during the time you start seeing the little.
It does. It definitely breaks.
And then I would say NFL number two, but not even close. We know the guys who handle the Stanley Cup. Like, nobody knows the guys who handle the NHL, NFL trophy.
I think Brad's pick that when we were talking about that was the World Series of Dice. And we were just kind of blown away by that. So, Bradford, I'm coming to you. What is your all-time favorite email? And I want to say I hope it's not my pick.
First of all, rebuttal to Scotty Too Hottie. I will die on this. You cannot say the Stanley Cup is the best trophy in all of sports when they let jabronis drink out of it. That is not prestige. That is just extra regular for people. The NFL trophy and the World Series trophy are prestigious. We can't get within 5 feet of them because they're blocked off and guarded by police. There's prestige there, so thank you.
There's no touch, and you actually made me remember a couple stories. So when I had the Stanley Cup at my brewery, I was actually talking with the handler.
Sorry, what's the name of that brewery again?
That name is Brock Street Brewery.
Where's that located now?
We were located in 244 Brock Street, Whitby, Ontario, Chris, so you know when you're coming
by. Did they just let anybody put the Stanley Cup in their brewery? Just anybody?
Only the best brewery in Ontario. Anyway, so... in which Brad. We were named, but like the guys who had the cup, so the guys who handled the cup talked about when Ovechkin filled it with $20,000 of caviar, when another player that they wouldn't name filled it to the rim with cocaine. Like, this
I'm actually kind of okay with that. Caviar, not so much.
Bradford's now a hockey fan.
Yeah. The trophy itself is a legend.
So if I could read between the lines with Brad's response, even though he hasn't answered the email part of it. Now, you're saying that the MLB trophy and Lombardi trophy are into lock and key. Is that what you're trying to say? The demographic that likes those two sports aren't allowed to touch it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it's prestigious. You're not going to snort a rail off the Lombardi trophy because we respect the prestige and the history of this trophy. So, anyway, my favorite email, and I can't believe nobody said this yet, is we have a secret admirer.
That was mine!
It's never been revealed! She's never revealed which one of us, obviously it's Ed, let's be honest, that she's in love with, but it's never been revealed. So we all collectively assume Ed is the sex machine. So... I don't know. I'm still waiting for her to email us back and tell us which one it is.
It's the couch. What girl doesn't want to get on that couch with them, you know?
It was Julie, right? From where was it? Does anybody remember?
Jesus, I can't remember.
Nope. It was so memorable, nobody remembers.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir?
Free couch, by the way. It was a free couch.
Look, that was like one of my very first podcasts with y'all.
It's not divorce yellow behind me anymore. It's white.
Yeah, he's single and ready to mingle, ladies. Yeah. More secret admirers.
I think, you know, I'd like to know the overall ratio of demographic of ladies that watch the podcast versus dudes. Because
obviously there's 4.8%.
I would love to hear that.
There you go. 4.8%. There you go. Ed with the analytics.
I'm taking the under.
And I guess the question, were they always ladies?
Nowadays, you gotta
ask. Scotty, good point.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Chris, favorite email so far?
Yeah, I'm with Tom all day on this. I love the emails that we could literally fill up a whole hour of our time just talking about. So Stanley from Texas about the sports one, the trophy. There was so many more. Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. That was one that we could spend all day on those. So those are the ones that I'm really into. Like, you could literally, again, like he said, everybody has a different opinion. Everybody has a different, you know, idea of what they think. So, like, those emails to me with subject matter is endless. And I just feel like this could be so much for everybody to input. And I just love that. I'm so intrigued into hearing what everybody else is into, too. So that's definitely all my favorites.
I'm going to ask the elusive phantom favorite email. You got to pick another one because as like-minded individuals.
When you told me to come on here, you never told me there was going to be homework involved.
So, much like electronics, you're taking the zero.
I'm not going to take the zero. Well, I mean, I got a little bit of recollection here, but I'll go with the ones that have to do with the coaching questions. Those are pretty good. I always like to hear whatever. Everybody kind of has a different experience when they coach sports, and it's kind of funny how, you know, everybody might think differently, but in big picture wise, everybody's kind of on the same wavelength, and where everybody thinks the same way, you wouldn't think it would be so tough, because you would kind of hope that maybe like the parents might have the same thoughts as you, where it's like if you got a parent on your team and they're acting whatever, they're upset about something or anything like that, and it's like, if you're talking to somebody about it, they can always rationalize, like, yeah, was that person crazy? But then when they're the crazy person, they don't think that's a problem. It just kind of cracks me up when it's like everybody's living in the glass house. Everything's like, it's all for the kids. We're just here to have fun. And then until something goes wrong with their kid, and now they got to set the world on fire. Well, those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick another one, I think the first one that really kind of grabbed everybody and I don't know, I think coaching questions came in a couple of times before this one did, but I think it was the greatest sports movie of all time question. I think that that one really kind of made you take a step back, especially if you grew up watching a lot of movies, you know, the rented movies era where everybody was watching all kinds of stuff, and, you know, the mid-80s with cable, and, you know, anything from Chariots of Fire to, you know, even if you weren't into that stuff, you kind of watched it because it was in that rotation of things that were on cable at the time, HBO, Movie Channel, Cinemax.
And the movie that was in the Elvis box.
Things like that, yes. Yeah. Movies that were hidden away from a very impressionable youth. Yes. Yep. No, but I thought that was, you know, if I had to pick another question, I think that was the first one that we really got that. It was kind of like, well, we could really do a whole podcast on that question. I think Chris had said it, or, you know, somebody else agreed that we could probably run with that one. I think we were doing half an hour episodes at the time, too. So, so that's our best of for the first 75, episode emails. So let's get into other best of segments. How about let's switch to Tom's Shitty Picks, sponsored by Brock Street Brewery. Tom, we're going to start with you because it's your segment. What is your greatest shitty pick in 75 episodes?
Got to be the Celtics. I picked dead on Celtics in five versus Dallas.
Right on the money. Scotty, you got to be happy with that, representing the brewery and the, you know, kind of.
And the Celtics, you know, talk.
Oh, absolutely. can I do my shitty pick? I don't know if we're going to be able to see it here.
Yeah,
but go ahead. The Phantom sent me a shitty pic of him Mac Daddying on my cousin this week.
Wow.
And so that's the shitty pic that I'm like, you bastard.
Hey, go a couple to the side.
Can it be shown on a podcast?
My wife don't watch this.
You just shot yourself in the foot.
No matter.
Ed, can you get a coat of paint for Ryan?
I yellow. It's called divorce yellow. Everybody's got it.
Is there more room on that free couch?
Absolutely. Does it fold out to a futon?
Me, you, and the emailer. Hey, pretend we're at the Roxy.
There you go. The devil's three-way. Oh, my God, Ryan,
I totally forgot about that night. Getting tapped. Really forgot all about that. Oh, my God.
I don't think we can really add a lot of insight to best of shitty picks other than Tom. Do you think, Tom, think we could add anything to that? Like, as far as from a group perspective, Ed wants to join this conversation.
I have one. I remember his shitty pick was when the Bruins were supposed to win, and then collectively it was like on Empire Strikes Back when the planet explodes. You could see everybody's face just, oh, no.
That's the one I remember. Oh. Yeah.
Tom took the Panthers and he was right. That was my favorite.
I think we were watching the game like kind of via when it happened, right? It happened live when we were doing the podcast.
I think it was. You guys
were 2 years ago. Yeah, two years ago when they lost in overtime.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
So
I can also say something with Tom Shitty's picks. If you can see my FanDuel account, there's $0 in it because I bet his FanDuel is shitty picks all the time.
I'm just throwing you guys a bone. If you saw my FanDuel account, I'm rolling in the coin.
Oh, there you go.
Reverse psychology, right, Thomas?
Yes.
You're just trying to throw the odds, man. And then you bet the opposite.
Absolutely.
So do you think that we could add as a collective group that I think that out of that email that we got kind of created something really cool that kind of Tom made it into like a whole segment? And that was the first segment that kind of like took off as far as like individual things that we kind of do now, right?
Yep.
Early on.
Yep.
Speaking
of segments, I want to ask everybody on this one. We're going to start with Chris. Chris has got started doing a cooking segment. That's what he likes to do. Chris, what is your favorite segment out of what you've done so far?
Oh, my favorite one's the one you haven't seen yet. It's coming up in a few weeks. I'm going to keep that a nice secret. Okay. You guys go ahead.
All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of that, I'm going to drop the new segment in right here. And we'll continue on with the picks. Bradford, favorite segment from Chris's cooking?
You made some lobster rolls, right? And this might sound weird to y'all, being a Southern Democrat down here in Mississippi.
Mississippi
fire.
I've never had a lobster roll, so that's always something that it's like on my list of top five things I want to try one day.
I mean, how much do you think it costs for a lobster roll?
A good lobster roll? I would say I would pay $12 for it.
You ain't, all you're getting is the bun, homie.
Yep.
Jeez, try like $45.
Another more than 13, yep.
We can make it a crawdad roll if you want.
Hey, now those I've had.
I've had it.
Those are good.
Ed, favorite cooking with Chris so far?
Oh, I have to say, I really enjoyed the first one with the pasta, and I also enjoyed the lobster roll one. Those would be my two favorites.
Everybody's pretty much in agreement with the lobster roll has been the best one.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Nope. And I like the ribs.
I like the ice cream tour.
Mine was the ribs.
Ribs.
Hey, I got in trouble for the ice cream tour at work, by the way.
Hey, that was the first thing I thought of.
Oh, you did, Chris. Oh,
I had to take it down.
I'm saying, Chris, you were looking at me. Oh, yeah.
Bro, I was riding that surfboard all around the freezer.
Hey, Hey, OSHA.
Those ribs are great, Ann. Last day.
Yeah. I know, bro. Hey, thank you for the ribs, and could you see security on your way out?
They're bittersweet. I'll say that.
So yeah, Chris, the cooking with Chris thing is always great. It's something something that we can add that, you know, you love to do, and it's only in the early stages of it. So imagine, you know, maybe when we get to the 100th episode, we'll have a bunch more to talk about with that. So I want to talk about the man that's right beneath me, Bradford, in his tinfoil hat segment.
Not in my house, he's not.
He's not in my house. Not in my house. He's right here. Anyways, so I'm going to go to a segment that we get serious with. What has been your favorite conspiracy theory so far?
There's two. The one I really enjoyed presenting was the Malaysian Flight 370. That still today intrigues me. The one I have the most fun with, because it gets everybody so riled up, is Travis Kelce's girlfriend, Taylor Swift, still just get people like, just burns their buttholes whenever I talk about her being a witch. Like, they don't want to hear anything other than that she's America's sweetheart. There's so much evidence there, man. It's really hard to deny it. So, and I'm not the only one that says that, by the way. There's a lot of people out there that think Taylor Swift is a witch. So go Google it, man. Y'all go look it up, and you will be down the rabbit hole for hours.
I'm gonna ask the Phantom, another fellow conspiracy theorist. Favorite conspiracy theorist that Brad's talked about so far, tinfoil hat.
I like the LaVey's daughter. That one, like I said, that he stole mine. Go figure. But I like the one with like the Leviathan in the water forming the eye. That thing was sick. That one I had never really heard of before. But then, of course, after we get off, gonna hit the old YouTube, dive in a little bit. Wild stuff. Showing people on boats and stuff going by it, and the water's like wicked still in like big areas of the ocean. Pretty cool stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah. Ed, favorite tinfoil hat segment.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go with the Grand Canyon one.
Mm.
I think that's pretty interesting and that type of thing. I mean, you know, that I'd really like to take a deep dive on that one, you know. You know, like Ryan and with Brad, with both of what they just said, I mean, you know, goodbye to 6 hours on YouTube, you know, when you start peeling back the layers of the onion. So, and I really enjoy, I did watch quite a few episodes of the Malaysian flight as well. So a very, very, very interesting, you know, take on all of those. So, you know, and I'm not going to touch America's, you know, sweetest witch.
I'm going to go to Darren, number one fan, favorite conspiracy theory we've talked about. What do you got, Darren?
Well, just going on the line still, man, with Taylor Swift, because I'll tell you what, at my work at the nursing home, I'm an activities coordinator. There was, and I know I didn't get a chance to get back to you when you said that, but two of the nurses, they're always, we got this nurse that they're always talking about stuff, and I swear they were talking about that, one of them to other nurses, and they were going, oh, yeah. Now, I was busy, you know, doing stuff. And I said, hey, my friend on the podcast was talking about that. So I meant to get back to you. And she said, yeah, Darren, you so, and she just got into a whole thing, and all the other nurses are looking at her saying, what? I said, like, so just to tell you that one, because that just broke more into other stuff. And everyone said, oh, yeah, not sweet Taylor. So, yeah, I just, that one stuck with me with all the others you have, but that one. Just particular, that was my favorite.
Scotty, you got one?
I'm gonna say I'm okay with Taylor being a witch, because she got me $7,000 because I was able to buy 4 tickets, got 2 for the kids, and then sold the other 2 for $7,000. So, you know, way to go, witch!
Damn, and that's how you buy a brewery.
I did like the Malaysian Air one for sure. No, I found that one was like, because I'm like, all right, you know, you know, the just the tinfoil hat, being a mental health therapist, I'm already like, okay, what kind of nonsense am I going to hear? But that one made me go, all right, I kind of want to learn more about that. And I'm just waiting for the next one on the miracle bullet that just missed.
Oh.
So I'm sure that's coming soon.
Look,
oh, I have I have some really wacky ones on deck.
I bet you're doing
just for that. Strap in, hang on, and just let it go, man. Like,
let
just,
it cook.
Just yep, absorb it, Scotty.
I'm waiting.
Put on your cup and you got it for that one.
Yeah.
So we got two people left. I'm going to hit this from two different angles. When we started this, Chris was not really into conspiracy theories, but then he's a believer. We're getting there. Chris, favorite conspiracy theory from the tinfoil hat segment so far?
So here's the thing you don't know. Back in the day, in my mid-20s, I was extremely into conspiracy theories. You know, Fall of Cabal, reptilians, all this crazy shit that I spent hours and hours, and you want to talk about a rabbit hole that I would go into and spend hours, and there was this dude at my work that was so into it, and we would just go back and forth all day like two fucking crazies, okay? And then I was just like, all right, I had enough. It was fun for a little bit. But Tartaria got me dialed back in, okay? To think about an ancient civilization that possibly built pyramids and these fucking tunnels, the subway system in New York, like, that's insane. Like, how is that ground not caved in? They get, supposedly their water comes from underground. Like, how is this shit all like spaghetti? It's fucking just ridiculous to think about. So that got me going again and revived my conspiracy theory. I'm ready. I'm all in.
Chris, if you like Tartaria, I'm going to hit you with this. Cleopatra lived closer in age to the invention of the iPhone than she did the construction of the pyramids. Is that not fucking wild? Did you know the pyramids are so old, the Egyptians themselves studied who built the fucking pyramids? They don't even know, and they lived it.
You know what I thought you were going to say, Brad, to Chris? If you like Tartaria, you'll really love tartar sauce.
On your lobster roll.
Do you put tartar sauce on a lobster roll?
Absolutely not.
Hell no. No way. No.
That's sauce on my Long John Silvers.
Long John
Silvers? I put tartar sauce on my Long John.
That's how this podcast makes money. Right there. That is a real go-getter.
That's a t-shirt in the making right there.
That's it.
The rest of y'all need to step your game up.
Never mind. My guy's drinking out of a bamboo cup. I love that thing. Send one over, bro.
It's oak. It's high class. It's oak. Thank you.
So we're going to the professor. When we started the tinfoil hat, he was not a believer. Now, could be on the fence, depending on the subject. The man grew up Catholic. What's your favorite tinfoil hat segment, Thomas?
Well, let me first start off by saying when he first started this, I was like Scotty. I'm like, what the hell is he going to say? The damn redneck down there. What's he going to? But he won me over. And if you noticed, I haven't worn the tinfoil hat since like the third week he did it. So he's won me over. I think my favorite, I'm going to agree with the Phantom and say the Leviathan one really kept my interest. And that's one that I actually looked up a little bit online afterwards. Mm. But good job, Brad.
Yeah.
So real quick, my two favorites is, of course, the Grand Canyon one. I love that story. I think it's so American folklore that, been covered up. Smithsonian, the whole end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they have the whole, all they're wheeling the Ark into this archives that you'll never know that they have type of, subliminal kind of thing at the end. And the belt, the Glocka, I love that. It's like a time machine. I love that. I love that story. I love that, the whole thing, what happened to it. You know, the structure is still there, so it was a thing. It's just what happened to it. Did they destroy it? Is it also in the Smithsonian? Who knows? So let's move on and talk about, we've done a couple of reviews, different places. We've done Kojo's, we've done Dallas Vintage Toys. We want to mention that, and you know, hopefully that becomes a thing too. Maybe if you guys are on location, you could do reviews for us and send them in, and we can get, you know, more eyes on the podcast and more, you know, people that are business owners that want to, you know, be on the show. Favorite review out of the two, you don't have to pick one, but Brad, you started us off. I think my favorite one is the first one because it's the original. What do you think?
I will just say Dallas Vintage Toys because I was there. It was fun. It was kind of impromptu. I was like, man, this is a really, really wicked store. They've got everything in here from like Lucy's and that they repackaged and sold at discount of Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joe, wrestling figs, you name it. And then they had the really, really good stuff in the back when I went through Castle Grayskull. That was like the stuff that was cased inside of a case. But it was like the Taj Mahal of, you know, of vintage toys, man. But going through those old vintage toy stores like that, man, like it's just like a walk down memory lane, dude. I just start seeing all the stuff I had as a kid and I just get overwhelmed with nostalgia. But I love Dallas Vintage Toys. Whenever I go back to see Tristan, I think I'm going to make it a point every visit. We're going to go to Dallas Vintage Toys, pay them a visit, buy something, support their business, and promote them somehow. So, yeah, that was definitely my favorite.
Now, Brad, did you hide any toys while you were in there?
Did I hide them?
hide any for next time.
Man, I have a mental
Did you hide a Benoit somewhere?
Man, I have a Chris Benoit that I bought there, and I was looking for it just now, and I think my wife hid it because she hates that toy.
And, if you went all the way down to Dallas and you didn't hide nothing for next time,
that's
a rookie move.
Rookie move. Yep. I got to agree, rookie move.
Yeah,
they must have had a snooker somewhere in there that you had your eye on.
Man, I have a mental list of – so many toys in there. Now the wrestling figs, they're really, really good ones, were those Gen 1, Gen 2 series in the back. The ones were from the way back in the day where they didn't really do anything. They had like one movable action that they all did. Those in the, and I have four of them. I have Ultimate Warrior, both generations of Hulk Hogan, and a Brutus the Barber Beefcake. By themselves, they're only worth 20, 30, 40 bucks. In the package on open, $600, $700, $800. And I'm like, God dang, where's my stuff at? You know? But some of those I have my eye on. I'm not going to go spend $600, $700 on them. But the Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joes, man, straight back nostalgia.
And he's going to steal them like he's in the flea market.
Man, they got them locked up, bro. Like their security in there was tight.
Chris, favorite review is it your Kojo's review, or do you like the original Brad Vintage Toys? I like them both. I like the way that you guys, you know, presented it. You did it very professional. You both spoke really well on the the review of the store. What do you think?
So listen, Kojo's, good shit, right here downtown New Bedford, right? It's a rock's throw from my house. I could probably hit it with a baseball. But that store that Brad went to is just absolutely badass. Like, just the size of it. The ceiling tiles is what got me going big time, you know. Just awesome, awesome store. Like, tenfold size-wise, anyway. Just such a large location, which he moved. Kojo was in a 400-square-foot little tiny closet, basically. And the store that he just moved to now is 1,200, I believe, square feet or 1,600 square feet. So he pretty much tripled in size, which is great. Good for him. But I'm definitely looking forward to the more reviews that we can do coming down the road. Like you said, I hope we can do that more. I was just Googling the Brock Street Brewery. And, you know, I've been known on these hockey tournaments to say just disappear at night with a guy or two and come back at like 5 in the morning, like just before our hockey game with no sleep. So Hopefully you can make a special event and stay open for us, because I'm telling you, that 401 drive doesn't look that bad. 50 so minutes. I'll make it there in 35 with the way I drive. Watch out. I'm coming.
Chris, pants or no pants?
Do I wear pants on the podcast?
Is the no, question. I'm talking about the review. This.
I'm telling you, do I wear pants on the podcast? Yes or no?
Size matters, I guess.
We don't know. You had me a little worried when you say you've been known to disappear at the middle of the night with a guy or two.
Well, you know.
Like, where are we going?
I mean, my wife wakes up and says, where the hell's my husband? <'Cause I'm...
laughs> Ed, could you also getting Eiffel Towered with a guy or Chris?
Two? Put it there, Brad. Put it there, buddy.
Oh, boy. Let's play rest area, boys. Beep, beep. Here we go.
Shut the lights off.
We are not that kind of establishment.
Allegedly. Oh, boy. You don't want to turn away anybody.
After dark, does it, Scotty?
After dark, I always.
Well, this next thing you know, there's some Merlot spilled in a tan rug in an argument. Ed, I gotta ask you, are you excited that we could do like more reviews? What do you have that you think would be great for these reviews from a marketing standpoint?
Because both what Brad and what Chris did, they both speak really well. They really kind of highlighted both locations.
Yeah.
And I think it really added to the podcast quite a bit.
Excellent job.
My biggest thing is to say, you know, I mean, I'm so out of the loop. I mean, I totally forgot about half of those toys until, you know, they both showed up to me. I was like, damn, I totally forgot all about that. You know, I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen some of that stuff, and it was just nice to see it again.
Especially condition. You know? Are you saying you want to disappear with me and Brad one night?
That's a negative, sir.
With the toys.
What about
Poor Darren's like, I don't have to come on this shit ever again.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Okay, I'm here right up front. Look at right here. I can't even comment on it. Look at right.
I want to. Well, we're going to ask the professor this
June off.
Why is it that we have the owner of Brock Street Brewery on? Since day one, we pumped the product. We've never gotten a review that we can show on the podcast. I want to know.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
You got to get your asses up here, because I can give you a great review.
Yeah, well, technically you're part of the podcast, Scott. You can send us a nice vignette, a video, a VTR, beta, VHS. we'll get it on. Well, Laserdisc.
Scotty, I have one thing.
Who breaks down there?
Hey, you really need to increase some volume so you can get the Brock Street Brewery jet, man. Like, come on, man. Like,
crank out that volume,
brother. Come on.
I'm going to ask them.
There's not a lot to pay
for a jet, you know.
Yeah, Thomas, what would you like to see us do with these reviews? What, if you had to give some insight?
Well, if we're going to keep start not small, but we could do we always used to pump Purchase Three Records their tires. They're not too far away. One of us could go there and do that. We could do not to say review, but we could do a convention or something somewhere, like the sports card show that we were talking when we interviewed Doug about. Cool. I think start off small and build our way up.
Yeah that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, we try to try different things, and most of them have turned out pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen too much stuff really fall flat, but as far as the reviews, it's new, so we don't have a lot of them to talk about. But you know, we gotta get a Brock Street review. We gotta get a couple convention reviews, and next time Brad goes to one down there, maybe he can do one. Thing is in the works down there, nice. Right, Bradford?
About the second, I got something I'm gonna try to go to. So I don't know how big it's going to be. I think they're hosting it at a Boys and Girls Club. It's going to be a lot of toys, vintage toys, stuff. I'm going to go check it out. And if it's worthy of a review, I'll record something. If it's not, I'll just be, you know, it's whatever.
Phantom?
Midget Wrestling Parking Lot?
Oh, yes. That, you know what? I've got a
that was my favorite. That thing was awesome.
They're in Barnstable this weekend, actually, by the way.
If you could have got in there with that, oh, that thing would have been off the chains.
So little did I find out soon afterwards when I went back in the building and I was bitching to the guys like, oh, you know, what the fuck? I can't get my podcast on. They're like, oh, you didn't hear the Wi-Fi code they gave in the beginning before the show started? No. Where the fuck was everybody at, you know? So apparently there was Wi-Fi, and I could have if I was.
Oh, man.
I was two sheets of the wind by the time I got there. Okay, guys.
Oh, real talk like that.
And that's a nice way of saying you disappeared for a little while with the dude.
Yeah, he was time traveling.
Yeah.
So, if you sneak away with four little dudes, does it only count as two?
Valid.
No comment, I guess, from Christopher. He doesn't want to lose his cooking segment.
I want to lose that.
How about I'm gonna start with Darren with this one. Favorite guest that we've had on the show. Who's been your favorite?
You guys have really had some good guests. You know, the wrestling guys. I love the card collection guy that was on there, all his stuff, his stories. But I have to go this direction with your boy, with Dennis and his son, that interview, because you guys just going through what Dennis went through and his son, what he went through. Of course, you know, I was on dialysis for 6 years, both my kidneys shut down. So that story, just hearing from, you know, and I talked to Dennis on Twitter, just like his story, but his son, that interview, wow, being, was he 16? And stuff like that. That just hit home. Like, okay, here he is going through that. So that was one of my good ones right there. That was a good one.
That was a good one. It came from a different angle because we usually try to do stuff from keeping it light, keeping it fun, stories and stuff like that.
Which I like, right? Yeah. You guys flipped that good. Yeah, that was a good one.
Ed, favorite guest we've had on the show.
Oh man, I think it's hard because I think that there's probably like three or four that I'd have to say that were really great. I'd say having Knuckles on twice, that really, you know, being such big wrestling fans that we all are, you know, except for Scotty, of course, that was really big. Having Joe Lyons come on, you know, Darren, you and I went to school with him at Bridgewater. So it's, you know, always good to help Bridgewater alumni, and then having Sean from Skateway, and then having Corey from Goon Guard. And then obviously, you know, having a really close friend like Dennis on and seeing, and to piggyback what Darren said about, Dennis's son, and to see with, you know, type 1 diabetes and to be such a great athlete. I mean, it's, you know, that's a huge, huge kind of mountain to climb because, you know, type 1 is definitely not something that you can just control with diet. So I have to say all of those were probably my favorite ones.
Scotty, do you have a favorite guest that we've had on other than yourself?
Well, actually, you guys are turning me a little bit. I've found the dark side of the ring, and I'm starting to hit those up. So maybe I'll be able to contribute.
You already watch more wrestling than Ed now.
So
speak some truth there, Thomas.
It's funny because the one is probably when I stopped watching wrestling was when Ginger Lynn was, we were starting to see those videos, right? And so when she came on with that little, that kind of little opener, I thought it was hilarious, but then I was quickly disturbed by the fact that she says, I understand you guys watch these videos together. So I thought, oh, you sick bastards.
Bradford, favorite guest we've had on the show.
Does the Dusty Rhodes impersonator count?
Mike, he's great. He's great. He's all over Twitter.
Yeah, those are great. My favorite guest is none other than the top fan, the top commenter of our YouTube, Darren. I feel like me and him trade comments back and forth. Even though I think this might be the first time I've been on the pod with him. Yeah. I feel like I've known the guy my whole life, you know, so top fan. Appreciate you, you know, commenting and being here today. So that's my top guest, if I could be sentimental.
Much love.
Chris, who was your favorite guest that we've had on?
Yeah, seriously, Darren's great. Like, I don't even know him, but, like, I feel like I know him, just like he said.
Yeah, we have.
It's amazing, just the back and forth that we have with the comments. I mean, Knuckles Nelson was just cool. I felt like that was the closest, like, celebrity slash, you know, ex-pro wrestler we had. Still got his book here. Can't really see it because of the stupid background. But anyway, there it is. Sideways it works. Good interview. But my favorite guest is going to be the guest that we're going to get down the road at some point. That it's going to be extra damn special. And don't forget, I still have that little phone number of that person I ran into a while ago. And the Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch is a possibility. I know it's going to cost a little bit. She did also offer us to use her studio if we ever wanted to. It's right downtown, right on Union Street. So if we actually ever wanted to just all be in the same room together, that's an option. Going to cost a little bit. But, you know, for a special occasion, you know, we got some anniversary episodes coming up. Just throwing that out there. So
I'm going to ask you, the professor, with the question of his favorite guest, seeing that he's been part of a lot of the interviews. Who's your favorite guest, Thomas?
I would have to say our first interview, Roger, I thought would be one of the best. And I think it'd be really awesome if we could ever get him to do like a shoot, just because he has so many stories, I think, between being around rock guys, rock stars, with his uncle, who was a drummer for Billy Squire. And then with the wrestling, where he used to always do the conventions and he'd bring in these wrestlers. He must have some crazy ass stories.
Yeah, I don't know what the how deep we could go with that with him. I don't know if he would kayfabe a lot of it and keep it to himself, but I'm sure that there's some stories there. I want to ask the Phantom, favorite guest?
My favorite guest, he's done a couple of little clips here and there on the regular podcast, but every once in a while he ventures off on his own. And I'm going with my man, Todd O'Clock, and his review of the doo-doo toilet. Gave it a solid 7. Kid must not have had to take a crap. 7 a little high for me, for toilet's got some doo-doo on it. Kid couldn't get any food. That scores you a 0. Doo-doo on the toilet, it's a 7. Todd O'Clock, he's man.
Yeah, Todd O'Clock.
That's a new thing from a kid perspective. So, you know, I'm going to let it just settle, because somewhere down the line, it'll be embarrassed as shit that you recorded that and it's all you. So when you got a girlfriend someday and she finds that, you're all done.
That's it.
He don't clean the toilet at home. He don't put down his seat. You know what I mean? Forgets to flush. So, you know, it is what it is. You get the review you get. Yep, for me, favorite guest has been just the two things. I'm going to get some sentimental on this. I'm grateful for everybody that we've had, but Darren's been there since day one. He hasn't been on a lot of episodes, but it's always great to have him on just to see a face, chirp with the boys or whatever. I know this is the best of episode, but, you know, grateful to have him. He was there right from Jump Street. And Bradford came on the show almost a year ago. It became such a staple of the show. He brings the good comedy, which I love.
Yep.
He's not easily rattled, which I love. And like-minded individuals. So what more can we say? He's been a great addition to the show. And I think Brad, just top notch for all around. More Bradford reviews. People want to see more tinfoil hat. So, Brad, yep. Fantastic.
Hold on now. If he ever wants to lose the guest star title that we always put in the front where it says guest starring, if he ever changes mind and changes vote on the title trophy, you know, I'm not saying that's the reason why, but I mean, put two and two together.
Not happening, yeah. Buddy.
Figure it out.
We're not ready here at the 1973 podcast.
As they say yeah. in the workplace, figure it
Tom,
out.
Tom, the numbers don't lie. Two votes to one, you lose.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry.
So I want to start with Darren. I want to ask him, out of all the episodes we've done, what is your personal favorite moment from the show?
I think this one you guys get on. I have to go back when Ryan said it. One episode, because I coach girls basketball here in Wareham for 10 years, was that email, the round team. With that episode just hurt Coleman, plus, you know, being a parent, my daughter Jasmine, you know, now she's 25, but just when she did like soccer, gymnastics, but especially down the Cape, like it's just, God forbid, the elite parents like doing gymnastics or soccer, God forbid if anybody else could comment on anything. So that episode just hit more like, I said, yep, everything you guys said. He said, yep, been through that. I've been yelled at. Yeah. I mean, I remember one time, this is when I started back in 2007, OBL's coaching middle school girls. I had a parent come up to me. I was just walking back to my car. Oh, aren't you going to play my daughter? You never played my daughter. I said, were you in the gym? Because at that time, we had to give each girl like certain amount of minutes to play. If you didn't, that was part of the league. So it was like, it was going to be like this big, like, fight up. He just like came roll up on me. I said, hey, watch it, first of all. And second of all, once you pay attention. So I explained. So it's just that episode, just how I like that with the email, how we, whoever brought up that question, how for coaching and parents and hearing everybody's perspective or with kids or being on the outside with parents or being a spectator. So that was mine.
All right, Chris. Your favorite moment from the 75 episodes?
Man, so many. Hard to pick from, I guess. I just like the ones best, honestly, is these commemorative or milestone episodes that we do. And we just have everybody on and just shoot the shit like we're doing today. We're not like, yeah. You know, we're not going off a script. We're not like, you know, we're just winging it and everybody's just giving their peace of mind of what they enjoy. And like, this is my favorite, like sentimental right here. Like, this is just cool. Just hanging out with you guys and just hearing all this is awesome.
I'm going to the man north of the border. Scotty.
All right. Let's good responses already. I did love all the lead up to the Phantom. Who's the Phantom? What's the Phantom? All the side little videos that you do. And then you had him on and you really jumped the shark.
Let down.
Bam! No. It's great seeing Branko on here. It's that's kind of my favorite. And similar to Chris said, you know, the ones I've been able to be a part of, it's you know, it's just the most enjoyable. But I love playing it and put it on when I'm not on, and I play it usually lunchtime at work and feel like I'm catching up with you guys.
I like to think I had a hand in getting the Phantom on this show because I called him out in Portuguese, and I think that's when he finally understood he needed to fucking come on.
Chris, I'm going to just interject a minute before I go around that there is so much stuff that we cannot talk about from the probably the years of probably 1990 through probably, I'll be conservative, 2007, 2008, that you're going to go to the grave with. And you can't put it on a podcast because then it just, you know, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Let's be honest. You're the only one that remembers those because the rest of us were a little bit
So let me just say that adds to the story of being true, though, right?
Wait. He was the sober Sally?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, man.
And the funny part was, so when we were at certain establishments and we would pay our round, his Coke would cost as much as our drink. And it'd be like, well, I'm not drinking, so.
You're going to twist my arm. Do they serve sodas at Brock Street Brewery?
For the ill-informed, yes. Like for those people. I mean, like I think they're probably flat. I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't drink it.
So if you have a recovering alcoholic that walks in there and says, "Hey, I can't drink," you're going to give him the AC treatment?
We're going to go, it's a brewery. You saw the sign when you walked in.
He's going to sneak him one because that's a good customer.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Yeah, it's going to be like, hand over your chip.
Yeah, a recovering alcoholic, that's easy money, man.
I'm gonna go to Bradford. Bradford, favorite moment of the show?
I like what Chris said, man. I like all the anniversary milestone episodes or whatever. But just being on here, period, and then it getting put on YouTube, the one I remember very vividly the day I made a comment to the family about, oh, yeah, the episode's up on YouTube or whatever. And Lucas, my 8-year-old, was like, you're on YouTube? It's like, yeah, buddy. Dad's on YouTube. Check it out. Then I was like, don't check it out. This is way you're not ready for it yet.
Because I'm kind of a big deal. I don't know.
Yeah. But right? I'm on YouTube. Yeah. Tell all your friends, have them tell their parents, make their parents like and subscribe and buy the merch, buddy. So that was big for me, just being having my kid be like, you're on YouTube, daddy. Like, yeah.
I don't think a lot of people understand that if you don't buy the merchandise, we can't build up a kitty to pay for a good guest to come on. That's just how it works. Can't lay it out any more than that. So buy some stuff and you might see somebody cool on here eventually.
Stop being so cheap. Buy the mugs.
buy the Chris with the apron mug on or something like that.
I mean, buy a Chris apron. Buy a hat.
Listen, who doesn't wear an apron while you're cooking? Or you can wear into the bedroom with nothing on underneath, see? Come on.
Or you can spin that apron around and pretend like you're a superhero.
With no clothes on. Still spin it around. That works either way, Andy.
Well, hey, you know, you got to work with what you got. Some people might want to keep the wife might say, spin that apron around. I don't want to see anything.
Just wear the apron. It's easy access when you go on those hockey trips and you disappear with the boys for 3 or 4 hours.
I'm packing it in my suitcase now so I don't forget.
That's when you go back to the room, you got a clean t-shirt.
We're so off the rails right now. What was even the topic?
I'm going to go to the Phantom favorite moments from the show.
What we're doing right now is my favorite. I could care less if we ever have a guest. I could care less if we're reviewing things or whatever we're doing. My favorite part is just shooting the shit with the guys. Like we're in a car ride, driving to Lupo's or wherever the hell we're headed. That to me, that's why I come on. That's what I miss. And that was a big part of getting me to end up joining after I was like, dude, I'm not doing that.
And per usual, we're all buzzed out except Andy. Still, see?
So cold sober, bro.
Hey, somebody's going to start and stop this recording. You know what I mean?
I've had a few drinks, but I'm still too sober to drive. I need a few more before I get behind the wheel.
Mr. Bamboo.
I mean, a few for the road, huh, Brad?
Yeah, a few for the road.
How many
road,
drinks
fellas
do you need to disappear with a couple of dudes?
Not as many as me.
In my head.
Well, do you have to drink more whether you know them or you don't know them?
That's a question for Chris. This or just do roundtable. Phantom, you're up.
Break it down.
I'm gonna go to Edge. Favorite moment from the show.
Oh man, I'm gonna say that when Ryan came on as the Phantom, that was great. But I also have to agree with Ryan. It's you know, every week to get to, you know, sit down and talk with you guys for, you know, for an hour. You know, Andy, this was a great idea to get us all back together. So look, you know, we're all, you know, time is going tick tock, you know, and it's not guaranteed anymore, you know. And so it's just good to see everybody at minimum for an hour. It's good to see, you know, everybody blowing up the phones during the week and that stuff a thing on the feed. So it's good to see everybody, you know. And just for the record, I found Brad. Okay.
Find his feet.
I brought Brad. Just so you know, I did it.
Yeah, I did that. I did that.
I'm going to.
I found voice. Scotty.
Yeah, that's right.
Scotty didn't know.
Back in 1993.
That guy can put together a mean bike.
There you go.
Thomas, what do you got? What's your favorite moment out of the first 75 episodes?
Well, let me just say, I'm glad Ed could find Brad because he couldn't find the mute or unmute button in my favorite episode when he was thought it was a silent movie and had to hold up signs the whole time. Yes, no.
Funny story about that. I mean, I was on a different computer and I was home in Massachusetts. So, you know, you got it too.
That was good.
I think everybody kind of hit it really cool with you know, just the getting together factor. And it's like if you ever were in a locker room with a bunch of dudes yucking it up and chirping and you know, giving somebody a hard time, or old school Gen X bullying, you know, that kind of having fun and busting balls type of thing. I think that's what makes this what we do, whether it's three of us, whether it's been a whole group. I think it's all like-minded individuals. Everybody laughs at the same jokes. Everybody tells us the stories they can with kind of tiptoeing around how we tell these stories. Hopefully
we'll tiptoeing is like, is the understatement to say the least.
Yeah, we you know, we're not PG rated dudes. I want to go on record to say that. Definitely NC-17 rated on dudes. But we cannot be 100%. We can't turn it up to 11 because I don't think
some of you are still married.
I don't think we can turn it up to 11. I really don't. I don't think
human resources for, I believe, the man that's under me, the man the next to me, the man that's over there, possibly Brad, probably Darren, and with Scotty. So
yeah, there's so many stories. I was talking to somebody at work. I'll give you a little story from this week. They mentioned that they were going on a trip to Montreal and where to go. I said, oh, I just went with my son a year and a half ago. I said, I love Montreal. I said, but is it a family trip or is it an adult trip? Because there's two different Montreals. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, I can't tell you what I mean at work. I'm in an office full of people. I can't tell you what I mean. Going with my 10-year-old son to Montreal and walking on St. Catherine Street during the day is different than going with a couple of individuals on this panel. And, you know, we just, yes. Captain PK.
When you go with your son, you get PK. When you go with your buddies, you get.
very much so.
There it is.
So they were egging me. Now there's three people and two of them were females, and they're egging me on to tell them the story. And I'm like, I can't tell you the story because it's a story that involves someone that works here, somebody that you may know, some other people that I've been in close contact with. And, you know, just, you would look at me differently if I told you the truth. And a lot of times people can't handle the truth, and it is what it is. You get dragged certain places that it ends up being better than what you thought. And then you get dragged other places, and it's like, I think I have my mother calling me. My spidey sense is tingling. I should really get out of here right now. But, you know, that's the best thing about this podcast is the moments of getting everybody together. You know, whether it was like Ryan said, us going out, all the preparation for that, that was prep too. That was almost like a whole day for that. And then, you know, the car ride home and the stories about that. And hey, my car got broken into. Hey, look, I can't find my shirt. I'm in this foam night. Well, who are these women? I don't know. You know, look at the professor's laughing. He doesn't want to get in trouble. He knows. why is my chest so itchy? I have no idea. It must have been soaked. Just a lot of funny things.
It looked like good stuff. Bathtub.
Yeah. How did I pass out in this bathtub? You know, who are these? Why am I throwing up?
I've never been to Montreal before, but when I worked at Riccardi's, all the guys, they rented a Winnebago. They took a trip up there. And the one story that I always remember hearing is some lady at some strip club asking them, "Do you want to play with my big long nipples?" So if that's what you're into, damn, you guys are crazy.
Scotty, would you like to add anything to this at all?
Yeah, I don't want to be canceled. Yeah, I think it's funny because I'm like, Ed and I, we would be much more willing to talk as well. Tommy didn't know his wife at the time when we went. I think Ryan, Andy, you guys were with your partners. So
there was
we'll keep it in keep it under
reach. We're not going to discuss that at this time.
Yeah, let's exactly.
Can I tell? Continue. I'm going to tell a story, and I'm not going to name anybody, but it involves people on this podcast, so you can draw your own conclusions for the story. So we go to Montreal. So the whole point of going to Montreal is, if you're into hockey and you like to hang out and go to like cool restaurants, which are bars most of the time, and it's strip clubs. So it's St. Catherine Street. So if you start on one side, you go all the way down one side and you kind of do a loop and come back down the other side and usually stop at this one place to end the night, which is probably, I'm not going to say the name of the place, but it's set kind of in the middle of the street.
He definitely has not been there before, Ed. Definitely not.
So you go, we start going down.
I've been there before, brother.
We start going down.
A few times.
And we start hitting all the places. We're going in some stores. We're, stopping at different strip clubs. And there's some seedy ones. Yep. Going down alleyways, and there's one down here, whatever. So by the time we get all the way around, it's an all-day thing. This is like a 12, 14-hour clip. So finally we get back to the mecca of where we're trying to finish the night. So you have to go up this big flight of stairs from street level. Huge flight of stairs. So we walk in. They're checking IDs at the door, letting us go in. And I'm like, wow, this place is better than I thought. The atmosphere, what I'm seeing half-cut hockey jerseys into waitress outfits. And I'm like, you got me. You got me at that. One of the individuals on this podcast is last in line. This individual decides to crack one of the waitresses' ass on the way by. The bouncer sees it. Goes, you cannot come in here, all the way down the stairs. I turned around, I went, here we go. the one place I was waiting to go into all day. So,
Andy, I got to correct that story a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
That person was first in line because I was last in line, and it was my turn to pay.
Hey, you're not supposed to say that it wasn't you.
Oh, no, no, because this is a good
You're trying
story.
Not to get fined, motherfucker.
I was last in line paying the cover for the whole game. And I'm seeing this individual who was getting, like, roughhoused out. And I'm trying to fight to get the money back. Because I'm like, wait, if I can't get in, I'm not paying the cover. And I think I was able to get the money back, and we all had to go somewhere else.
My favorite moments like that have happened more than probably not 10 times, more than 5. And when I see it happen, I'm always like, hey, what the hell's going on? Where's this person going? And it's always it's always a melee. It's always multiple things going on. It's never one thing. It's always multiple things. You know, like when you watch wrestling and somebody hits the ring as a group and you're like, oh, look at that little guy beating up that big guy. Oh, look at that guy's in a headlock. Ooh, look. Yep. It's like you don't know what to watch. And you're like, oh, should I go over there? Wait, I gotta go over there. Who's over there? They were over there. How'd they get over there? Why is that guy getting dragged by his face?
That's good.
It always happens like that. And I think everybody can attest that it's, you know, it's stories. We are trying to kayfabe a lot of it because we are here to protect the guilty. And that in a nutshell, right. I think that's what the podcast is all about. Blurring that line of what we can talk about and bringing up the stories that are all true and maybe just a little bit of forgetfulness that maybe somebody else can add to. Scotty.
We all know who it was anyway.
No, we're never going to say who it is.
No, we're not saying names, brother.
That's going to be on the poll for everybody to guess.
next poll.
Oh, let me get ready for that one, Paul. All right.
Ed, as we close this episode, 75, do you want to add anything before we go?
No, I just want to say thank you very much. Darren, thank you for coming on. It's great to reconnect with you again, man. Scotty, it's great to see you. Bro. Chris, great addition. Brad, I missed your brother. Thomas, Ryan, and last but certainly not least, Andy. I love all you guys, man. It's good to see all you. All right, fellas. I'm out.
All right. So from our podcast family, 75 episodes, who would have thought when we started, like I said last week, the hottest part is behind us. It's all it's all smooth sailing now. We've done so many things. We even did a watch along with the boy. I want to do a couple watch alongs with the fellas. Maybe we can add some fun stuff to it and chirp along with some stuff, Mystery Science Theater style. So if everybody's good, we're going to sign off. Anybody want to add anything before we go?
Just thank you guys. Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Number
much
one
love.
Fan.
Much love.
Fan club member number 0001 on the employee badge number.
Buy some merch.
Yes.
Stop being so cheap.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. Stop being cheap.
Buy a book. Buy a book.
Buy a book.
Buy some books. Buy some hats. Buy some stuff. Look at this. See, Chris wasn't here last week.
You guessed it. You guessed it.
Two people bought books. Buy a book. Love a pet. You know, read a story. Cry about your animals. Do some stuff.
I'm right at the point where you're bringing Elliot home for the first time. Good. Very good.
Did you cry at all?
I mean, you know, I'm at work. I'm trying not to do that around the guys that I want to disappear with. So, you know.
Well, at least they'll know.
Not right there, Chris. Right.
If you cry around them, they're going to know if you're pitching or catching. So you're already outing yourself. So from us to you, that's 75. Later, everybody.